Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Today in our studio is Ken Suzanne. Hey, Ken.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, doing well.
Oh, good. Well, Ken Suzanne is of counsel in Barnes and Thornburg in Minneapolis, and he's the member of the firm's intellectual property department. Ken has experience in the areas of trademark law, copyright law, internet law, social media law, domain names, and service mark matters. He's counseled his clients on a variety of issues ranging from the inception of a trademark to ultimate registration, licensing, and enforcement. Ken Suzanne counsels and assists wearable technology companies to protect brand names through trademark, copyright, and domain name filings. He also performs trademark clearance searches for mobile application names and logos. Ken has also worked with an expansive network of associates worldwide on trademark clearance, licensing, and litigation matters. So in our program today, we're going to check in with Ken, get to know him a little bit, kind of understand your upbringing a little bit, and then we'll slowly work our way to some advice for some business owners.
Sounds good.
Great.
And thank you, Nancy, so much for having me on the program. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm so happy that you agreed. And what you're going to be sharing, too, of yourself and also your knowledge with intellectual property with our audience, I think is going to be very valuable. Ken also has a radio podcast program. It's called Intellectual Property.
IP Fridays.
IP Fridays, yeah. Your IP Fridays podcast program will be very helpful, I think, for our listeners, even if they're not focused on the law as attorneys, which the program is focused on international law. But it also gives a lot of insight. Like, I found your episodes to be really helpful. Your recent one, episode 61 on the trademark reform in Canada, I just like the way you're bringing forward international awareness of what's going on in intellectual property worldwide.
Yeah, we like to stay on top of developing issues on intellectual property worldwide. And Rolf Claesson of the Freisham Law Firm and myself, you know, work together basically every day to talk about issues. We have common clients. And collaboratively, we work together on putting out a product twice a month, which appeals to not only attorneys, but also to business people and to in-house counsel. And to people who are involved with licensing. Really, IP is everywhere.
So, yeah,
and
it
IP,
is.
As you said, is intellectual property. And more so now than maybe 50 or 100 years ago. I mean, it's really big. And you walk into any store, you see trademarks. You walk into an airline. You walk in. You walk into a. You take a seat in an airplane, and you'll see trademarks there in front of you.
Yeah.
And you go to a hospital, you'll see trademarks there or service marks. So you're really everywhere that we go. Is IP.
Yeah. And do you think that's part of the globalization of our world?
Yes, globalization has played a huge role,
and
the internet. Yeah, both of those things have played a major roles in getting brands out around the world, and have required companies to take steps to protect their brands. Because as you build a brand, let's say here in the United States, there may be people overseas who are looking at it, may want to emulate it, might be copying it, might be creating counterfeits. So these are all things that as lawyers, as intellectual property lawyers, you know, we help our clients with. And with the podcast, we've really been able to sort of stay on top of all the news and to really, I like to interview people. So that really has helped me in staying in touch with people around the world, not only here in the United States, but I recently interviewed an attorney in India. Obviously, I had to look at the time change and everything like that, but we made it work. And we have an episode airing soon on the status of law in India as it relates to trademarks and patents.
That brings a lot of excitement to your work, to be able to talk about it, and also connecting with people, other attorneys around the world.
I love to do it.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm so glad that we have podcasting, because podcasting really is a powerful medium. I mean, we no longer are beholden to people who hold the keys to television studios or radio studios. Essentially, we can all do it like we're doing it right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? In a home studio.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, like every guest that comes here and gets a little mentoring while they're here, I have them fill out a self-awareness mentoring journal, which you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. I'm just so happy to be here and to talk about my interests in law, intellectual yes. property law, mm-hmm. and also how I felt that podcasting has played a great role in the development of my career and in helping others.
Yeah.
I think it's a great vehicle, and I think it plays a role in how I feel as well.
Yeah. So is there anything else that you had filled out on your sheet of emotions yes. that you would like to share with us? I like to go in a little detail.
Let's see. So emotions of inner peace, I checked off that I am aware, curious, mentally fluid and clear, receptive nice. And happy. That's how I'm feeling right now. Obviously happy to be here and sharing my ideas and thoughts about IP and the law.
Yeah.
And also very happy to be here on the program, because it's not often that you get to do this type of thing. And
that's
and,
right.
and it feeds into my interest and curiosity in broadcasting and communications.
Sure. And we're going to talk about your background a little bit more. We'll mm-hmm. kind of go back and you can step us through.
Sure.
Because it's always interesting to see how people build a career
mm-hmm.
and how they take their talents mm-hmm. and gifts and how they channel it and mm-hmm. grow over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're able to do that in much more expansive ways mm-hmm. than used to be. Nobody's in companies for, you know, their entire career. If they are, it's rare. And so we're creative beings mm-hmm. and we have a lot of interests that we want to plug in throughout our lives. And the work environment has become a little, you know, a lot more flexible. So we're able to expand on our ways that we're expressing ourselves in the
yes.
in the creative field. So great. What else? Any emotions of internal challenge and growth?
Well, I think often the word, I put out the word challenge because, yes, you know, I am a husband, a father of two little girls, 2 years old and 4 years old. I work at a law firm, and I also have mother and father in New York City. And there's lots of things to keep track of and to, you know, to balance. And I think having life balance is very important. And it does often provide challenges, you know, to be able to make sure you're doing everything to the best of your ability and to give, you know, 100% plus on everything. And it does provide challenges from time to time, you know,
yeah.
how to split your time with everything. And we were just talking earlier about the weekend and how, you know, it goes quickly. And yeah. It's not the way for me. I'm married now 6 years. But before that, I was on my own. And, you know,
right.
the weekends were much different than they are today. And so you really have to learn how to balance and to prioritize, I think is the key word. You know, how do you prioritize and how do you look at the day and figure out when are you going to do things? When are you the most energized to get things done?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, I think, that I think a lot of people face, no matter who you are, whether you're just starting out in a career or you've been practicing doing something for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
I think everyone has that challenge of prioritizing things.
Absolutely. And we're mm-hmm. human beings, so
yes.
sometimes we do things really well and then mm-hmm. we have our off days.
Yes.
We mentor. You've been married 6 years. Wow.
Yes, we just celebrated our anniversary. So.
And you moved to, and we'll go back a little bit further, but before we do that, you moved from Buffalo, New York
yes,
to Minnesota?
That's right. I had been living in Buffalo, New York for about 9 years. Shortly after, so it was 2003, I relocated to Buffalo, New York to work for a law firm there, Hodgson Russ, where while I was there, I started as a senior associate and then became partner. And I was doing essentially the same things that I'm doing here in Minnesota, and that is intellectual property attorney. Yes, I left New York City. I started my career in New York City, and I worked for two different law firms in Manhattan. And then I relocated. I went upstate. I had a number of years behind me in the snow and the cold. Yeah. I spent 4 years in Rochester, New York at the University of Rochester for my undergrad, and 3 years in Albany, New York at Albany Law School of Union University. So I had 7 years of upstate living before I even got to Buffalo. But I loved living in Buffalo. It was a great town, made a lot of friends, people who I still talk to this day on a regular basis. I have one of my best friends from college who lives up there, who's a reporter for the Buffalo News. To me, Western New York was a wonderful place to begin my career, essentially. Yeah. When I met my wife, we relocated here to the Twin Cities.
Okay. And Minnesota?
Yes, she's from Minnesota.
I see.
So, I never thought growing up in Queens that I would be living in Minnesota. When I think about it, though, I always loved cold. I always loved snow.
Oh.
So it's a perfect fit. My father served in the United States military in the Army in Alaska. So there must be something in the blood.
Yeah, right.
He used to show me slides of his experience in Alaska and to see all the snow and from the 1960s, you know. It just really was quite something. So that must have made a mark on me.
Yeah. Have you been back to Alaska?
I've never been to Alaska.
You've never had?
I want to go. It's on my bucket list. I really would love to see Alaska. I actually have a photograph of a place called Wonder Lake, I think it's called. It's near Mount McKinley. And to me, it's beautiful, the pristine lakes and the snow-capped mountains. I would love to go. So hopefully someday I get to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. So you grew up in Queens, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us
Jamaica Estates. Yep.
Tell us a little bit more about your family.
Well, I'm an only child.
Okay.
But I have cousins, and growing up, we always got together with cousins and did things with all of our families, and so. But I had lots of friends too, and I never really felt like I was all by myself or anything like that. I was always involved with activities after school and Cub Scouts and other things. And I remember taking a great interest in acting when I was in school plays and all of that. So that was a big thing, I think a precursor to getting involved with communications. Later in high school, I was co-editor-in-chief of the newspaper. And then in college, I was news director of the radio station there. So you can see it all kind of building and developing, you know. And obviously the podcasting, it kind of fits in well there too.
Right.
I didn't go into broadcast journalism, although I've always thought about it. It's something that I enjoy doing. But, you know, I'm now nearing 19 years of practice as an attorney in intellectual property. And that's probably where I'll stay. But I do like journalism. I do love media. I've always been interested in media. So having the ability to podcast is really helpful in satisfying that desire and interest.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way also that you're using your legal background.
Yes, definitely.
To educate other people.
Yes.
And so the medium works really well.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it's so easy, as we were talking about earlier. Plug in a USB mic into your laptop computer and download free software.
Yeah.
To record, you're set to go, essentially. And then you have to do other things too, but getting the voice onto a digital file is not that hard to do.
No, and it's a field that's growing. It's a burgeoning field.
Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
For 15 years, it's been kind of started growing.
Yeah, and if you go, for example, if you're in iTunes and you go into the podcast section, you'll have page upon page upon page of content. And a lot of it is free.
Yeah.
You know, that you can listen to and not have to pay for.
Right.
So I think there's a wealth of content out there that's being developed every day for people.
So I've noticed that there are some podcasts that charge like 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a deterrent for you for listening to the program?
Yeah, I think myself and Rolf, we don't plan to charge at all for the podcast. We work collaboratively and don't have any plans to charge for it. I think some people might do it, but we're at this stage, we're not looking to do that. We work together on this and offer it to our listeners free of charge.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in the future we might think of having a sponsor. We've been approached by different people for sponsorship, but currently we're not even doing that also.
Okay.
You know, we just like to work together. We put up, we think about content, we interview people, we have our eyes and ears posted to the internet and to other sources to get information and to figure out what are the latest trends. And it not only helps our listeners, it helps ourselves too in staying current.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, particularly in intellectual property. Things move quickly.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes on every day and one can't possibly be on top of it all. But through, you know, reading and listening to others and distilling the information for our listeners, it really is helpful. I think as an attorney to get educated on things.
Sure.
You know, you step out of law school, you start working as a lawyer, but cases come down every day. There's decisions, there's new statutory frameworks that you have to be mindful of. And then the global nature, what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Changes in the law is something that you really need to keep on top of because clients need it. They
yeah.
come to you for that. And we need to be able to help them in safeguarding their intellectual property.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you've talked about some of your interests as a child. You were an only child. How many aunts and uncles did you have?
Oh, well, I have on my mother's side, I have an aunt. She has a sister. And I also have an uncle on my mother's side as well. She has a brother and a sister. She was the middle child of that family. And then on my father's side, I have an uncle and an aunt.
Okay. And are they all in New York?
So on my father's side, my aunt and uncle live in New Jersey. And on my mother's side, my aunt lives in New Jersey. And my uncle lives in California.
Okay. I've got kind of a big spread of aunts and uncles, both on my mom and dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom had 13 siblings.
Wow.
Yeah. And my dad is one of nine.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Big family.
You know, you often see the family reunions. I never really had that. But I see it's a big thing for families to get together.
Yeah.
When I was up in Western New York, that seemed to be a big thing. People would, you know, have it in front of their house and you see all these cars and
right.
sometimes they would get a bouncy house, you know, for the kids. And
it had
that sort of appeal. And I kind of like that. I know my mother talked about something called a cousins club where they would all get together, you know, from time to time, I think way back when, you know, and try to get in touch with people.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing. Families usually don't get together all as a unit all the time. Maybe they're on holidays and that type of thing, but it's hard in this busy day and age to get everybody together all at once.
Yeah, it is.
But I think with the internet, though, for example, and FaceTime and other sort of video programs and that type of thing, it really helps to keep people connected. I know we use it with my parents and my two little girls in keeping in touch because it's hard for grandparents who live in New York to constantly see their grandchildren in Minnesota. And,
yeah.
you know, obviously we get together a number of times a year, but on a daily basis, it's helpful to have that connection, and the internet really helps with that. And I think people in general use it in all sorts of ways, not only in business, but in their personal lives as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So do Ellen and Lily talk to their grandparents Skype their parents?
Ella and Lily, right now, I have to kind of, you know, get it together, and then I ask them, would you like to do that? Or sometimes, more often than not, my mother is asking, you know, can we do this? And so, but they love it. We do it for short periods of time, and it helps to kind of keep the face in front of their mind, you know.
Yeah, well, and then your parents can see kind of their development.
Definitely.
Yeah. As they're getting older.
Mm-hmm.
So Lily is the younger one?
Yes, yeah, she's two.
Okay, she's two. Mm-hmm. And then Ellen is four?
Ella. Yeah, Ella's four.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. And then you have a wife, Kelly?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And what are the most fondest memories that you have of your childhood and youth?
Well, I think on childhood, As I alluded to earlier, I was involved with a lot of the school plays, and I always remember in sixth grade being the lead actor, Tevye in The Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh.
And I remember just having so much fun with that. I just, yeah. Time to cue the music, right? And yes, that was me up on the stage, and I remember it was in the, probably in the early 80s. It was a great experience. I just loved it. I performed in a number of the school plays, but after elementary school, I just didn't do any more acting. It really wasn't until getting to college when I was on the radio where I was back in some sort of communication and type of thing. But doing those plays back in the early days, that I think it was a big, big thing because you're out in front of so many people.
Yeah.
And singing, nevertheless, right. You know.
Right. How many performances would you do?
You know, I think we only did one. I think it was one performance that we had.
Oh.
And the whole school was like in attendance. And, you know, I remember it very well.
Huh.
You know, I remember my father, I got his like army boots and we got a fisherman's hat. And we did up the costume really well, the best that we could. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
How many students were in your school or grade level?
You know, I know in our class, we had maybe, you know, 20 or 30 kids in my sixth grade class. I can't remember the number of students that were there, but I know each class had maybe, you know, 30, 35 kids in each class, and it went from kindergarten all the way to sixth grade. That school has since changed. It's more of a middle school.
Okay.
So there's kids in seventh grade there now, but it was a school that was built, I believe, in the 1950s, and I think they're celebrating an anniversary soon. I was reading on their website. So,
okay.
But, you know, sometimes I go online and I see the stage. The stage is still there. The curtains are still there.
Fond memories. Yeah.
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 I always really enjoyed that. So that was a big thing. And then in high school, I was involved with the school newspaper. So that really was, I think, another thing where I just enjoyed, you know, coming up with story ideas and writing. I love writing. Obviously, as a lawyer, you have to like to write.
Yeah.
And that was where I really honed my skills into also with leadership because we had freshman writers, you know, sophomore writers, and I was a senior in high school. And so, you know, reading the stories, editing the stories, working on layout, working with the printer,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
I remember doing all that, and it was a great experience. Loved it. It was a wonderful thing. This was at Jamaica High School in Jamaica, New York.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're describing a little bit of how you developed your leadership, and when do you see yourself as kind of an innovator?
Well, yes, I do see myself as an innovator because number one, for clients, I'm always thinking about ways to solve their problems. You know, there may be things that they need, or maybe they have a rejection on getting a trademark, and I have to figure out how can we get around these registration refusals? How can we help a client get what they need? So I think I am innovating on a daily basis as I'm problem solving. I'm trying to come up with creative ways to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So on that regard, I think as an attorney and as a counselor to my clients, I am an innovator. Then also, just as we've talked about along the way here with podcasting, I think coming up with a podcast for intellectual property issues, it is unique. I'm not aware of many lawyers like myself and Rolf that are doing this on a regular basis. I know that there's a number of law firms that have professional announcers, you know, that interview their lawyers, and that's very good.
Yeah.
But there's not many lawyers that are doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a testament to being creative and being innovative in the field.
And do you think is there an added benefit, do you think, for your clients?
Yes. I think the benefit is, number one, is that, you know, I'm developing these relations with people around the world. I'm staying on top of the news. I'm learning about new trends and new statutes and new things that will be a benefit to my clients. So I think everyone benefits from the work that you do and the relationships that you form. And so having that product, that end product out there, which you can listen to 24/7. I mean, it could be That's 4 in the I morning. Totally, yeah, if you want to listen to IP Fridays, it's there, you know? It's there for you. And there's a lot of content. As I was saying earlier, we're at episode 61 as of middle of August 2016. So, you know, we have a good number of podcast segments already posted. Mm-hmm. And there. So it's really, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy, but it's something which I think is innovative. It's unique. And I'm very happy doing it. And I'm very happy Rolf has asked me to do that. Rolf Clayson, that is, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were open to the idea. I think that's another way in which you're innovative is you're able to see opportunities.
Yes.
And you know when to capitalize on them. And you kind of like to be on the front end.
To be on the front end, or as they say, cutting edge and that type of thing. You know, I'm innovative. I'm always interested in technology. Okay. And technology is all about advancement, creation, innovation, and new things to help people solve their problems, to make life easier.
Yeah.
You know, if people 10, 15 or 20 or 30 years could see what we have now or what we're going to have in the future, I think it's amazing. The other thing that I've been involved with in my practice is drones or UAVs, you know, as we talk about them. And that is, I think, is going to be a big thing as the years go on for businesses using drones to deliver products to have as part of photography, as part of all sorts of things that in agriculture, for example, drones are going to be really big. And that's something I've tried to keep on top of in my practice, not only with IP Fridays, but also with helping clients in their business pursuits.
I was at a friend's barbecue, and one of the people who were with us at the barbecue brought their drone.
Okay.
And I had never been close up to a drone. I've just seen, like, I saw them around the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Somebody was apparently taping or watching the fireworks kind of close up.
Yes.
This was in Robbinsdale for the whiz bang days.
Okay.
You know, it was interesting at this barbecue. We got into a discussion of where does it go? So he could zoom in, the guy with the drone, to a neighbor's place, sit it on their porch. Hmm. And that's not invading their privacy.
Yeah. So there's all different laws about, you know, trespass and privacy that one needs to take into consideration before they operate the drone and use a drone.
Yeah.
So, and that's a big part of advising clients as well.
Or even airspace. Like I think he went up like 300 yards or something and was viewing the area, and we could watch on a smaller computer where we were standing what the drone was capturing with the visuals.
One needs to keep in consideration the using a drone for personal, you know, recreational purposes. And then there's also the latest in the law is using drones for commercial purposes, and the FAA at the end of August is rolling out what's known as Part 107, there's now going to be regulations governing usage of drones on a commercial level, and people can go out and seek what they call waivers if they want to get a waiver from certain restrictions and that type of thing. But they are definitely things that need to be kept in view, because you do have laws that apply here. You can't just take your drone and do what you want with it. There are going to be laws that apply.
Yeah.
Depending upon what you're doing with it, you know. And so what you were hinting at is some of the privacy considerations and what are you doing with the drone and how are you doing it? What hour of the day or night are you using this drone?
There's lots of things. Like you hear stories about, you know, neighbors not getting along very well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking, what's stopping a neighbor from getting a drone and like really,
I think if you type drone and privacy in a Google search, you're going to get a lot of information there. You're going to read about stories. You may even read about cases. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot out there. Almost all states have specific privacy laws, trespass laws and that type of thing. And there's sort of a patchwork of regulations.
Okay.
So you have to keep that in mind. And then, you know, you also have, are you close to an airport? And there's no fly zones and that type of thing. And there's all sorts of things that you need to keep in consideration. You also have to register your drones too. If it meets certain criteria, as of last year, there's a database out there that you need to go out and register your drone. So there's a lot of little rules and regs and that type of thing, which I, as an intellectual property attorney, again, innovation, I am totally into it. And yeah, I was so happy when the managing partner of the Minneapolis office asked me to help out with the drone practice, because it fits quite well with my interests and curiosity.
Sure.
in that type of thing.
Well, we're going to have to continue with that. Would you like to come back for another episode?
I would love to.
Yeah, and what I'd like for you to share with the audience is we'll continue our conversation. They'll get to know you a little bit more, and then we'll talk about other issues about social media.
Sure.
And some other fun stuff.
Sounds great.
Oh, good. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining in. We'll see you next Monday.